Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
We're continuing our series on Storyteller this morning, Parables of Jesus. Basically, a parable is a short story with a big truth, a small story with some big principle, and Jesus used this often to teach lessons to his disciples or to the people that he was teaching and ministering to. And so today we're going to be looking at Luke 18, verse 1 through 8, which is a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples. And today I would like to take away two principles or two key elements from this passage of Scripture, and that would be a lesson about prayer and persistence in praying, and a question about faith. And so let us just quiet our hearts for a minute and ask the Holy Spirit to come this morning and speak to us through His Word. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We just humbly come before you this morning and we ask you to make your word come alive. And in spite of me, Lord, speak this morning, I pray, to us. May your word go deep into the depths of our heart and take root and bring forth something this morning, God, that no man could ever do. Have your way, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke 1, 1 through 8, it says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Verse 6 says, then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? So let's just take a look at, I'm sorry? Okay, Luke 18. Sorry, a typo on the slide there. Luke 18, chapter 1 through 8. So Luke 18, chapter 1 through 8 is the parable of this widow that was persistent in prayer. And so let's just take a look at the characters really quick. We have two main characters. You have the unjust judge and you have this widow. And the judge, it says, he didn't fear God. In other words, he had no faith in God and he did not respect God's laws. He did not respect anything that he should have respected as being a judge. In that day, things should have been judged according to God's laws, oftentimes, even in the courts. But this guy didn't even have respect for God, no faith in God, no respect for his laws. He said he didn't even care about people. He was only concerned about himself, only concerned about his own needs. And for him, it was more about position and power than it was about judging correctly. And so this is why he's called the unjust judge, according to this parable. And some may ask, well, why was this guy even a judge? But this is the illustration that Jesus is using to paint the picture that he needs to paint here for them. And so we have the judge, he's unjust. Now let's take a look at the widow. The widow in that culture was not very common, you see, for a woman to do things on her own. It wasn't very common for her to have property or vote. It was a very demeaning society in a sense towards widows. And oftentimes it caused problems for her. It was difficult to maybe take possession and keep possession of her inheritance or her husband's possessions who had passed on. And as a result of this culture, as a result of this, in society, widows were often taken advantage of, and they were often stolen from. They were often abused in ways. And this is why the Word of God is so clear, and in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, all throughout the Word of God, what does the Bible talk about? It talks about taking care of widows and protecting them and blessing them. And God has a great love for widows. He has a great love for these people who are vulnerable. And He tells us how we as the church should also be in that same mindset of having a great love for the less vulnerable. And the widows, especially in that day, were falling into this category in a great sense. Even James, the brother of Jesus, he said, look, true religion is not showing how spiritual you are by lifting your hands or doing this or that. It's taking care of widows and orphans. It's doing what Jesus told to do, caring for people who are in great need. And so that's the widow. She's there. She has this plight. And for as her situation, it's not specifically shared. Was she beaten? Was she robbed? Was she taken advantage of? Yes. One thing is clear, though, she had an enemy. She had an enemy who she had a dispute with. And whatever happened, she had to have justice. It was a matter of life and death, almost, for her. She had to have justice. And so, as we see this enemy causing problems for her, she's got to have a way to bring justice, but she, as a widow, is not technically able to go and have the right to defend herself before the judge. She could be flat out denied and not have the right to defend herself. And so another thing about the widow is, though, that she was persistent. She was very persistent. Even though she didn't have the right to defend herself, whatever had happened was important enough to her for her to cause her to break this custom and go beyond this taboo, if you will, of approaching this judge, not just once, but repeatedly. Approaching this judge repeatedly, asking him to defend her case, to give her justice, pleading her case over and over and over and over and over again. And over and over and over again. And he ignored her for a while. But then she kept coming over and over and over again. All right, for those of you who don't have kids, you know, forgive me right now. I'm going to have a dad moment. And, you know, it's just a real pleasure to have my son Jeremiah in here with us today. But I'm telling you, and I love him, I don't see myself as an unjust dad. I don't see myself like, I have my best, in his best interests at hand, and I do care for him, and I do love him. And, you know, he gets a vision in his head about what he needs, and he will ask me, Daddy, can I do this? No, son, that's not good. Go ask your mom. Daddy. Daddy, can I do this? No, son. But I asked mom. I said, well, what did mom say? She said no. I said, what'd she say? Go ask your daddy. I said, okay. And so here we are, this battle. And then it starts. It will not stop. It will go on and on and on. And I'm determined, no, he is not getting his way in this. No, you are not getting your way, Jeremiah. No, son. No, 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 no. But he keeps coming. He's like a little gnat. Bzz, bzz, bzz. And you're like, stop it. Stop it. And eventually, he keeps coming to the point to where I'm so tired, and all I can do is say, I don't care. Just, okay, do it. Yes, you can have it. Have your way. Go. Do whatever you want. Jump off the roof. I don't care anymore. Do whatever you want. You're driving me crazy. I love you. Thank you, Jeremiah, for being my illustration this morning. But that's the way it was with this widow and this judge. She was driving him crazy. And she eventually got what she wanted by wearing him down. And so, back to the illustration that Jesus was sharing this morning, not my Jeremiah illustration, back to the parable, I want to look at a couple of key elements in regard to the widow's persistence. First, it shows that she was desperate. You see, she needed a higher authority to settle the dispute with her enemy, and she was willing to do whatever it took to seek this justice. And, you know, desperation in and of itself isn't always a bad thing. It can be good, but it can also often be unhealthy. When you're desperate to do something, sometimes it makes you make decisions that you should not make. It makes you say things that you should not say. It makes you think things that you should not think. It makes you take a path in life sometimes that you later on regret because you're doing it out of desperation. You don't have to raise your hand. This is a rhetorical question. Or this is just this is not a poll question. No, raise your hand. But how many of you have ever made a decision in your life out of desperation and you just come back later and you say, oh my Lord, Jesus, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? Now I'm finding myself in this situation and it's bad. And it was out of desperation. So it can be unhealthy. But with the widow, she was not only desperate, but she was patient. She was patient. And you see, desperation with patience brings persistence. Desperation plus patience equals persistence. And that can be a healthy thing. She didn't just go to the judge and just start wailing on him and tell him to give her justice. She approached the judge, give me justice. No. She would go away and wait. She would come back. Give me justice. No. She would go away and wait. And she'd come back. And it doesn't say how many times, but she was persistent. And so this desperation plus persistence can be a good thing. And that's what brought her to the place of eventually wearing him down. She won. Not because only she was desperate. Because she was desperate and patient, which caused her to be persistent. And that's the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, is saying, look, persistence is a good thing. And so he said, look, from this question, okay, so he starts asking questions. This is the way Jesus taught his lessons a lot of times. He often made his point by asking rhetorical questions. So the story is over. And he says, so after the story, Jesus says to his disciples, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he, this unjust, ungodly, not caring person, ended up rendering a good decision because he was worn out. You see, he didn't have a change of heart. He didn't have a sudden fear of God. He didn't all of a sudden decide to, oh, I care about this woman. He was just worn out. And so he says to his disciples, he makes this point, if this unjust judge, this person who doesn't even care about man, doesn't care about God, can give you a just decision, then how much more can your heavenly Father, who cares about the very details of your life, who cares about where you are, the one who created you, the one who has called you and set you apart as a holy nation, how much more will he not grant you justice? He said he will grant you justice quickly. Because God is just. He set it up. It's a juxtaposition that God is nothing like the unjust judge. God is just. He is holy. He is the creator. He is the one who created justice. He is the one who created love and laws and those things that we talk about in the Bible. He is the one who is before, after, and ever will be. He can never change, and he will always be just. And he has a great love for his people. So how much more will he not give a just decision to those whom he loves? He will do it quickly. It's important to note in the context of this persistent in prayer that we also look at it in a sense of not becoming, okay, Todd, you want to be an NBA player, right? He wants to go back to the States and become this NBA star and play with all these NBA basketball players and be the coolest rock star basketball player ever. So he starts asking God, God, you know my qualities. You know how good I am. And you created me. God, I want you to make me the best NBA player that I could ever be. And he prays this over and over and over and over and over and over. I know this is a silly, I could never see Todd playing, you know, NBA, but I mean, eventually, Todd's thinking, I'm going to wear God down, and I'm going to get exactly what I want. I'm going to be the greatest NBA star ever. That's not how it works. We are not going to wear God down with our own selfish desires and our own cares, but when we pray according to his will, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven and in my life, that is what the Father is looking for. He's saying, yes, I want to bless you. I want to keep you. I want to move you. I want to do these great things in your life. And it comes down to a place of surrender. It's important that we be persistent in prayer, but we have to have the right prayers coming. You think, man, I've been praying for this thing over and over and over again, and God hasn't granted me justice. I've been praying persistently, and God still hasn't granted me justice. And I'm not saying that you're not praying according to God's will, but there is a timing that God has. Sometimes his answer is no. Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's nothing. You're waiting. You're praying. You're asking God, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. That can be sometimes some of the greatest prayers you ever pray. God, help me. I don't know what to do. Help me. And he will answer immediately. Sometimes. But sometimes you just feel alone. Sometimes you don't feel that answer. And so, what does that say? And then Jesus asks this question. And this is what I really want to kind of tie this together before we close down this morning. He says, but when the Son of Man returns, how will he find on earth, how many will he find on earth who have faith? See, Jesus, again, we've been talking a lot here lately. Todd spoke on it last week. We talked about it this morning in communion. Jesus, the Bible teaches us that Jesus one day will return. And he spoke of himself as the Son of Man often. And he says, one day I, the just judge, will return. And he's going to be the judge of all these things. And he is just, and he will judge the sin, and he will judge the things of this world. Okay? But the most important question of all that Jesus was asking here this morning is, will there be faith? Not will you get your justice when you want it, right when you want it, but will there be faith when he returns? Is your faith in your circumstance? Is your faith in your own abilities? Is your faith in your own power to change something? Or is it in the God who created the heavens and the earth? Who set the universes in place, who set your own life into place. Will your faith be with him, trusting him to the very end? You see, he asked this question not as a rhetorical question like his other ones. He wanted it to marinate into the hearts of the disciples. He didn't ask for an immediate answer. He wanted it to sit there because he knew that these disciples would one day face persecution. He knew that these disciples would one day face challenges because of his name's sake. He knew that they would be beaten. He knew that they would be eventually given over to death. And they were going to have faith because they were going to be calling out to him and asking, Lord, where are you? You promised that you were coming back. You promised you're coming back. So he's saying, look, is the Son of Man going to find faith? He was giving that for his disciples, and I believe he gave that question for us today. As the worship team comes this morning to close us in a moment of worship, I want to direct our hearts towards a passage of Scripture found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Today we look around, we say, well, look at all this injustice going on. Look at all these attacks. Look at my own life. Look what's happening. Is God answering me? Is God going to answer me? Does God care? Man, I just don't feel it. I don't know where God is. You may be asking these questions. Just play softly for a second. In Peter, 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9, he was talking about Jesus coming back and how people in the last days would be asking questions like, hey, where is this Jesus' return? Where is, you know, all these promises he made? And he said, look, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. He's not limited by our time constraints. He's not limited by our time frames. God is working and moving, and He's just, and He's there, He's here. He's in the past, He's in the present, He's in the future. He's always been, and He always will be. He's not limited to what we can see in front of us. And we have to understand that. He says He's not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come to repentance. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What does that say to you? You say, I'm still seeking justice. You know what? I want to share a really quick testimony with you. And I didn't know if I wanted to share this morning or not, but it's kind of like the prodigal son and the persistent widow combined together. There was a family. The man and wife, ended up giving their hearts to the Lord in the 1970s. Ended up coming out of a life of alcoholism and just a powerful testimony of God's grace working in their lives. And they raised their family to know God. And some of their children had ended up wandering away from the Lord. And their 13-year-old son ended up really falling far away from the Lord, asking questions and experimenting and things in life. And it was kind of like the prodigal situation. And he kept moving further and further away from God. And in their hearts, they were broken, but they said, you know what? I am going to pray for my son. We're not going to give up on him. And they prayed persistently and consistently and persistently, pleaded with God, grant us justice. Bring our son back to the knowledge of your will. Bring our son back. Don't let him wander far away. Protect him. And they continued to pray and continued to pray and continued to pray. And 7 years later, at the age of 20, he finally answered. And God got a hold of his life. And he changed him. And that was me. That was me. You may be asking today, where's my justice? Maybe it'll take 7 years. Maybe it'll take 50 years. I don't know. But God is faithful. He's a just judge. And he's here to save us. He came to save us. I praise God for what he did in me. But I want to see him do that in your life. We want to see God move in your own life. Stand with me this morning. You see, we've all sinned. The Bible tells us we've all sinned. And we deserve God's judgment. But God the Father, the just judge, sent his son Jesus to die upon the cross and satisfy that judgment that we deserve. When we believe in him, Jesus, the creator, the eternal son of God, who lived a sinless life, and we put our faith in him because he took that punishment upon himself that we deserved. We believe that he was buried, that he died, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, according to what the Bible teaches us. If you truly believe that with your heart and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need you, he wants to save you. He wants to bring you into his family. Maybe that's you today and you say, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this message means really, but I know that I feel this tugging in my heart and I want to give my life to something new. I want to give my life to God. If that's you this morning, I would just encourage you to not wait any longer. Don't wait like that young man like I was, continually waiting. Don't miss those opportunities. Ask God to come into your life and be the director of your life. And maybe you're here this morning and you're just doubting God. You've lost your faith. You say, God, I've been crying out to you day and night. Where are you, God? God is faithful.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about The Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.